Come on up for the rising. Come on up. Lay your hand in.
Thank you for listening to the Rising Sermon Archive. We hope you're blessed by today's sermon. For more information about the Rising, or to find more sermons like this, please visit therisingcommunity.com.
I just got to look around at your faces. Look at you. Look at you all. I can't tell you how great it is to see your faces. You all just got good looking, all of you. I haven't been here in 7 months and you all just got so good looking. What happened? Well, good morning to you, Rising family. I am so glad to see you live and in person. And John, I was going to wear my Coke shirt today and pajamas just for fun, because that's all I've lived in for 7 months. This is the first time I've actually worn clothes in 7 months. So I was going to come in with my PJs, but I thought, well, we'll just try some clothes today and see what happens. Maybe next week. Who knows? Well, honestly, church, it was nice to see you all over FaceTime. Great technology, but I'm glad to see you here. What's up, Nicaea? You got so tall, man. What are you? You look like a center for the Sixers. Could use you. Anyway, it was nice to see everybody on FaceTime, but it's so much better being here in person. Amen. And honestly, I got to be honest with you. I was really uncertain that this day would ever really come, but I'm so glad to be back with you. I still have a ways to go. I'm out of danger now, and that's why I was able to come back. For months, we were afraid that some of my organs were going to rupture, and because the swelling and the enlargement was so severe. I've never gone through anything like that, where I basically just couldn't move. So I'm still very swollen. I still have a ways to go, but I'm out of danger. It's going to take me a while to get back to my full schedule and full life. But amen, I'm just glad to be here today to start coming back on Sundays and preaching again. And I'm hoping that by the latter part of May, I can get back to my full schedule again. So, but I want to thank everyone from the bottom of my heart for all your support and your encouragement, for all your fervent prayer. John was right. I didn't believe the amount of prayer list I was on. I mean, I was getting texts from people I didn't know. And that was wonderful for the last 7 months, for all your cards. Is Maple Glenn here? Maple must have broken the record for how many cards you send to one person in a matter of 6-7 months. She must have broke the record, because every week I got a card from Maple, and it was very sweet, very encouraging. And I want to thank you all for all the cards, for all the texts, Facebook messages, just everything you did for me in the last 7 months. I also want to thank everyone who stood in this pulpit while I was gone. Gwen and David Wright and Al Berardis and our youth pastor, Jesse Dariano, all of them. I'm going to thank them personally when I get the opportunity, give them a call. I want to thank all of our elders and our leaders for doing everything they could to hold things together. Let's give them a hand this morning. I want to thank everyone who tried to keep things going and keep things moving here at The Rising. There were times I thought I was done. I thought that, okay, God, I've lived past the time that people have, passed away from this illness that I suffer with. I've lived way past the time. I was thinking, Lord, thoughts, well, maybe this is it for me. And I was grateful to God that I had lived past the time As if any of you know my story, there were four people in my family who suffered from this rare genetic illness, and they all passed away before they were 40. So nobody made it past 40 years old. I'm 41, and I made it. No, only kidding. I made it a year past. No, but honestly, I had thoughts that, you know, okay, maybe this is my time. Maybe this is just not going to work out. And so, but hopefully now God has a different story that he wants to write. And from here on out, hopefully it's going to be onward and upward. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, before I begin the message today, I want to let you know what we're going to be doing for the month of May. I'm going to begin a new series today. And actually, I won't even, a three-part series, and I won't get to part two or three till June. So I'm going to begin today. Now, I'm going to tell you why I do that. I'm going to be honest with you. Because a lot of you that are here today won't be here next week for part two. There'll be some different people, different crowd that didn't hear part one. So I'm trying to mix it up. So maybe I'll catch you, you know, accidentally for part two and part three if I spread it out, you know, so maybe you'll catch the whole series somehow. So, but that's what I'm going to be starting a new series today called The Glory of Living. Aren't you glad to be alive this morning? The Glory of Living. I'm going to start that series today, and I have some other things planned for May. Now, next week is Mother's Day, and we're going to be celebrating our mothers, and we have a guest speaker next week. Siobhan Arline Bradley will be ministering the word on Mother's Day. She is doing an internship with us here at The Rising, and she's definitely been a blessing to us as we are restructuring and rewriting our constitution and bylaws as The Rising. We're restructuring The Rising legally and organizationally as a church. So, and she's really helping us with that. She's our intern. And so she will be ministering the word to us next week on Mother's Day. You won't want to miss that service. The following week on May 17th, I'm going to go back and do part two of the message that I did a couple weeks ago on FaceTime, which was called Let's Build on the Rock. How many of you heard that part one, Let's Build on the Rock? See what I mean?
Amen.
See what I mean? So I'm going to do part two on May 17th. Now, on May 24th, which is the fourth week of this month, I really want to encourage you. I know it's Memorial Day weekend, but I really want to encourage you to do everything you can to make sure you are here that Sunday for this word I'm going to bring on May 24th. Because I think you are going to see Jesus like you have never seen him before. And it is going to revolutionize your thinking about Jesus and about humanity. And you won't want to miss this teaching called The Word Made Flesh. That is Sunday, May 24th. Don't miss it. I'm going to keep reminding you to make every effort to be here for that teaching because it's going to revolutionize your mind and your spirit and your thinking. Amen? Amen. Now, we have a fifth Sunday also coming up in May. May 31st is our fifth Sunday, Community Service Sunday. As you know, on the fifth Sundays, we don't have a regular church service. We take our service to the community and we go out into the community to serve. Sometimes we bring people into The Rising to serve. And we have something really special planned for May 31st. We're going to give you all the details next Sunday, but just reminding you that our fifth Sunday is May 31st. And so that is, church, is the month of May, what we have planned. So, are you ready for the word this morning?
Yes.
Amen. All right. As I said, I want to begin a three-part series today entitled The Glory of Living. Now, and again, the other two parts I'm going to be preaching sometime in June. We're going to do part one today. Now, back in 2010, 5 years ago, How many were here in 2010? All right, maybe half of you, but the other half, no. Well, back in 2010, I preached a series entitled Understanding the Glory of God. And 5 years later today, 5 years later from that series, I've got so much more understanding and revelation about the glory of God. Because you and I manifesting the glory of God in our lives has everything to do with the glory of living and what living is all about. Because see, we think, when we think about living, we think about, okay, well, you shouldn't do this and you shouldn't do that. There are rules for living. This is how you live. We always teach in the church, do this, do that, don't do this, don't do that. This is how you live. But I'm going to tell you, the real glory of living is all about the glory of God. And we're going to see that in this series. When you manifest the glory of God in your life, listen, you are really living. And I want to talk about what that really means. I want to give you a complete picture of the glory of God, because I believe religion has given you a tainted picture and a tainted understanding of the glory of God. So I'm going to revisit some of that material that I taught 5 years ago, because I want to bring this understanding of the glory of God into the Risings consciousness. And I want to add to it. I want to add to it because I've got more revelation and more understanding that I've gotten over the last few years about the glory of God. Because one of the biggest problems with the whole issue of exposing God's glory or displaying God's glory or fulfilling our glory as believers, one of the biggest problems is many of you have been taught from the beginning that we have no glory. How often have you heard some, come on, a lot of you have been in church a long time. How often have you heard someone say, now watch out, brother. Watch out, sister. You got to stay humble. Don't take the glory from the Lord. How often have you heard that? Come on. Come on, you got to stay humble, sister. Don't you take that glory from the Lord. Betty, you better not take that glory from the Lord. See, we've heard that. We've heard that in church all our lives. Don't take the glory from the Lord. And what they mean when they say that is, they mean that no matter how well you exercise your gift or your talent for the Lord, you should never say that it was you who did it. Instead, say it was the Lord. That's what they mean. They say, don't take the glory from the Lord. No matter how well you sing, no matter how well you play the piano, no matter how well you paint a picture, no matter how well you design a home, no matter how well you create a product, don't ever say it was you who did it, because you will be stealing God's glory. Now, that's what you hear all the time. Now, I'm going to tell you this morning, despite what you've been taught, listen, that is ridiculous. Of course it was you who did it. Of course it was you who did it. Now, listen, humility is very important. And we said last week that humility is the key to being exceptional. So listen, you should never, never take credit for something that God did. I cannot take credit for standing here today. I can't take credit for that. God did that, because I didn't think I would be. So, and the doctors didn't think I would be. They still don't know if I'm supposed to be here. But I'm just saying, God did that. I can't take credit for that. That's something God did. But church, listen, acknowledging our God-given gifts and exercising them without apology is not stealing God's glory. On the contrary, it's the way that you give him glory. Do you understand that?
Amen.
When you just sit there, listen to me. When you just sit there and you're not using your gifts or your talents or your abilities or any of that for the kingdom of God, if you're not using that, your gifts, talents, and abilities for the kingdom of God, for the church, for your brothers and sisters, for your fellow man, that's when you're stealing God's glory. You didn't hear what I said. When you don't, when you just sit there and you don't use your gifts and you don't use your abilities and you don't use your talents for the kingdom of God, for the church, for your brothers and sisters, for humanity, that's when you steal God's glory. See, we honor God. You honor God by developing and using your, for his glory, your traits, your attributes, your gifts, your abilities that he has placed in us. But you always acknowledge him as the source of those traits, attributes, gifts, and abilities. So true humility, church, is to recognize our roots. True humility is recognizing and acknowledging who we really are. And who are we, church? Who are we? You are a spiritual, godly being in an earthly body. To deny our gifts and our glory, and yes, you're going to find out in this series, you have glory. And to deny our gifts and our glory, listen, is an insult to God. It's an insult. It's a form of, watch, false humility. And that false humility has suppressed the spirits of Christians for generations, and it leaves Christians feeling weak and useless and insignificant. And for years, I've heard preachers and leaders and teachers and pastors that have fostered this false attitude, and they pass it down to their congregations, and it is based on, I'm going to tell you what it's based on. It's based on a misunderstanding of one verse of scripture in Isaiah, where God says, in Isaiah, he says, I will not give my glory to another. And we're going to look at that, because we're going to look at that in its context. And we're going to look at that in its fuller meaning of the passage. Context is so important. It's critical to look at everything in context. So if you pull that out of context, that's what everybody's been taught. Don't steal God's glory, because God said you don't have any glory, because God said he doesn't give his glory to another. We have to look at that in context. Now, look at the word context, church. C-O-N-T. E-X-T. Now, if you take the text out of context, what are you left with? A con. Are you hearing what I'm saying? A con. If you don't look at something in context, take the text out of it, you're left with a con. And we've been conned about a lot of things in the church because they're out of context. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I'm back. Well, you know what? I'm actually getting ahead of myself here, talking about cons and everything. I'm getting ahead of myself here. Let me start out with a few statements, a few premises that I'm going to build on for this series. The first statement is that there is nothing more important to God than the glory of God. That's statement number one. I'm going to build on that. Statement number two, the purpose of man's creation was the glory of God. The original reason and intent of God's creation was to express and manifest his glory. Everything God created, he had one thing in mind, and that was to manifest his glory through that thing. So when he created you, he had one thing in mind. I created you. I created Lene. What do I have in mind for Lene? I want to manifest my glory through her. He had that in mind for all of us. And church, God's greatest desire is and still is for man that to manifest and expose, that we would manifest and expose his glory on earth. And we're going to find out, how do you do that in this series? I can tell you that we were created to manifest and expose God's glory on earth. But how do we do that? Because that's why God created you. He created you to do that. Now, I want to go to Ephesians chapter 3 this morning, if you'd turn there with me. Ephesians chapter 3. There's a passage in the book of Ephesians that is so revolutionary to me because it talks about God's original idea. Before the fall, before sin, talks about God's original idea, his original plan. Now, the first book of the Bible is what? Genesis. But the first book of the Bible could have been Ephesians. Because Genesis talks about creation and the creative power of God and the acts of God by his hands. He's making things in Genesis. But in Ephesians, watch, God is not creating anything. God is thinking. And we get into God's thought process in Ephesians. So let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Now, look at verse 8. The Apostle Paul wrote the book of Ephesians. And I want you to understand that Moses saw God's handiwork. But Paul, listen, Paul got into God's head. Ooh, wouldn't you like to get into God's head? Paul got into God's head. Paul was able to understand not the actions of God. He was able to understand the intent of God. You see the difference? Because before you act, you normally think. Well, some people don't, but I'm just saying, you're supposed to think before you act, okay? It's normal to think first before you act. In order to understand a person's actions, you must first understand why they did it. What was in their heads? What was their intent? Or you're not going to understand their actions. Why did they do it? What their intent was is always in their head. And that's what Paul did. Paul got into God's head. He got into God's intent. So let's look at Ephesians chapter 3. And listen, let's crawl into God's head this morning, okay? Let's see what God was thinking. What was in his mind when he created you? What was God after? Because, church, whatever he was after then, he is still after now. Now, we know that the fall happened and sin happened. And we think that because of that, God had to go to plan B. There was no plan B. No, despite the fall and sin, God's original purpose and original intent remained the same. So let's see what he was thinking. Now, I want to say this. Paul was probably the most interesting apostle because he made some statements that sounded very sacrilegious. Paul says that the thing that God revealed to me, not even Moses knew. Now, that's a heavy statement, church, because Moses wrote Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And Paul makes a statement, the things God revealed to me, not even Moses knew. Paul went on to say that the things the Lord has shown me, not even the prophets have desired to know. That means that Paul knew more than Isaiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk. Paul got information that they only dreamt of having. Now, how could Paul say this? How could Paul say something like that? Because Paul discovered God's intention, not just his actions. Look at verse 8. in Ephesians chapter 3. Are you with me, church? Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8. Now pay attention to this carefully. Paul says, although I am less than the least of all God's people, this grace, now grace there means this ability or this enablement of God. So Paul is saying, although I am less than the least of all God's people, this grace, this ability, this enablement of God was given me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Paul says, I got stuff that people searched for and couldn't find. The unsearchable riches of Christ. See, Paul, I got some stuff, fellas, that people searched for and couldn't find. It was unsearchable and they couldn't find it. Paul says, I found it. All right, verse 9, and to make plain to everyone the administration of this, what? Say it. Paul says, I got information that is mysterious to Moses. He says, okay, and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept, what? Hidden in who? In God. Say, hidden in God. He said, God kept this information from Moses, from Daniel, from Ezekiel, from Jeremiah. Paul says, I've got information that God kept hidden. Isn't that what he's saying? Isn't that what he says? Now, God, church, revealed a lot of stuff to those prophets, didn't he? But Paul says, I got stuff that God kept hidden. What did God keep hidden? Let's read it. He tells us what it is, verse 9. And to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God who created all things. He said God created all things and he kept some stuff hidden. Verse 10 says, his intent, everybody say intent. That word, that means purpose, his purpose, his original intent. He said God's intent, not his actions, but what he intended to have was this. Is it up there? All right. His intent was that now through the church, everybody say, that's me.
That's me.
That's me. Now through who? The church. Who's the church?
Me.
Not the building, right? The rising is even the church. You and me. His intent was that now through the church, you and me, through the church, the manifold wisdom. Manifold means something you can see. Seeable. It's in full view. It's manifested. It's uncovered. It's exposed. So he's saying through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known. Through who? You and me. He's saying through you and me, the seeable, in full view, manifested, uncovered, exposed wisdom of God should be made known. Made known to who? Who? To the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. Wow. Did you get that? Verse 11, according to his what? His eternal purpose. Say it again. Eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus, our Lord. My Lord Jesus. Isn't that incredible? You know, Paul says that I got stuff about his eternal purpose. I got information about what he always wanted before we were created. And the purpose, he says, that through the church. Now, we got a problem with this word church, because it does not refer to any denomination or organization. The word for church here in the scripture means called out, set apart ones. Listen, Adam was church. Adam was set apart by God to show forth the manifold wisdom and to manifest God's wisdom in the earth. Now, we seem to be manifesting a whole lot of other things except the wisdom of God in the earth. I heard a young brother say on a panel about Christianity and culture. And his statement was, the church is good at making a point, but not too good at making a difference. And he was saying that to 20,000 people and large, big, huge churches. Young brother, I jumped out of my chair when he said that. Because we're not manifesting the wisdom of God. The Bible says we were sent to earth to do that. Not to show off for one another, but to show who? The angels and the heavenly beings. What are we supposed to show the angels and the heavenly beings? We're supposed to show them what God's nature looks like on earth. Isn't that what it says? Yeah. Go back to verse 10. Some of you missed it. Let's try it again. His intent, all right, listen, his intent, his original purpose is now through the church, not through a denomination, not through an organization, through the church, through you and me. His intent was now through you and me, the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to who? What does it say? The ruler. He says, listen, I sent you to earth to show heaven what God's nature is like on earth. Have mercy, that's what it says. I sent you to earth to show heaven what God's nature looks like in another place, earth. Remember, we're talking about original intent. Church, we know the fall happened. We know sin came. That's Jesus, and we know Jesus came and he died for our sin. He paid the price for our sin. He made us righteous through the blood of Jesus. Why? Why would he make us righteous through the blood of Jesus? So we could get back to the original intent. You don't hear me this morning. God sent you to earth, watch, to show his glory on earth. God wanted the angels to see what his glory looks like in another place, and he chose you to do it, and he chose us, some kids called humans, to do it. That's why, church, we talk about purpose and vision and destiny here, because when you become what God created you to be, when you become that, heaven rejoices. That's why there is rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents. Heaven rejoices, because it doesn't say earth rejoices. It says heaven rejoices, because all of a sudden you've taken a step to become who you really are. That's why heaven rejoices. That's why heaven rejoices when someone is lost and then he's found. Heaven rejoices. Read Luke chapter 15. We're not here to impress one another. We forgot the assignment. It's heaven that rejoices over what happens to you on earth. It's the angels who are saying, my God, look at the glory of God in Pensacola. Angels are saying that. Michael is supposed to say to Gabriel, they're supposed to be talking about us. Michael is supposed to say to Gabriel, check out what's going on down there at the Rising. Look at what the glory looks like on earth in Pensacola. Seraphims and cherubims are supposed to be talking. Look at what's going on. Look at God's nature showing up at the Rising. Heavenly realms are supposed to be talking about God's wisdom on earth being manifest. The only ones that are supposed to be talking behind your back are the angels and the heavenly beings. You don't hear what I'm saying. Woo. I'm thinking about where should I go from here. I got all kind of notes here, but I told you guys I'm going to go here. I wasn't going to go here, but I've said this to you before. That the wealthiest place on this planet is not the gold mines of South Africa. It's not the diamond mines of Johannesburg. The wealthiest place on this planet is not the oil fields of Iran. It's not the uranium deposits around the world. It's not the wealthiest place on this planet is not the silver streaks in the mountains. The wealthiest place on this planet is the cemetery. Because most people, watch, take the glory that God gave them to the cemetery. So earth never quite sees the real you most of the time. Most people die with their dreams still inside them. You die with your gifts and your talents half used, almost used, unused. And God is saying, you know what God is saying? Don't come back up here with that stuff. You were born to manifest God's glory on earth. Come on. Amen. Go down to verse 20 in the same chapter of Ephesians 3. Is this too deep for you? I can't help but be a little deep. I'm sorry. Verse 20. It says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more. Oh my goodness. God says there's some stuff I want to do through you that the IQ test can't measure. See, if people can figure out how you did what you're doing, it ain't the good stuff yet. It's not the good stuff yet. People are supposed to be mystified by how you did what you did. You could be a fatherless child. You grew up in a poor, crazy, chaotic house, and by society's count, you should have ended up in jail. But what happened? Well, you beat all the odds. You picked yourself up. You didn't go to jail. You went to school. You made something of yourself. You became a law-abiding citizen. You even overcame to break some of those generational cycles. Church, that's the glory of God manifesting on earth. That's glory. Do you understand? That's glory. Glory is not some mystical term. That's glory. People can't figure out how you stayed out of jail. That's glory. Amen. People are supposed to be mystified how you did what you did. Why? Because God says it right here. He says, I'm going to do stuff through you that cannot be measured on earth. God is saying that there's stuff in you that's so awesome, you can't imagine all of it. Look at the verse. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. Now here, watch this. According to his power that is at work where? Say it again. Stop saying you have no glory. Where's the power working? Not in heaven. Where? Trapped in you. You've got something in you that no one can measure. Verse 21, to him, be glory where? In you. Who's the church? You. So to him be glory in you. Where's the glory? Where did God hide his glory? My Lord Jesus. You're getting it. I'm messing up all your religion today. And in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations. This is not just for the saints of old. This is for all generations. This current generation included. So what is glory? Let's really understand here what we're talking about. Let's get the proper definition of this word glory. Because the word glory in the church seems to be a word without meaning or definition. It's just a term we use, some mystical term that we use. And then we tell people, well, don't steal God's glory. It's not just a mystical term. It was a powerful word. And the Bible tells us that God wants that glory to come out of us. So what is it? What is glory? There's two words for glory in the scriptures. The Hebrew word is the word kabod. Say kabod. Say it again. Kabod. That's the Hebrew word for glory. The Greek word for glory is doxa. It's where we get the word doxology from. Kabod and doxa have the same meaning in the Hebrew and the Greek. Now listen to what it means. Kabod, doxa, it means heavy. Weighty. It also means true nature, the true nature of something. It means the true characteristics of a thing. It's glory, the true characteristics of a thing. It's glory, the weight of a thing. Now, when we talk about weight, we're not just talking about something, you know, you lift or lead or lifting iron. The word weighty means it's the real weight of a matter. You ever heard somebody say, well, give me the weight of the matter. What they're telling you, they're saying, give me the real glory of it. Give me the essence of it. Give me the weight of it. The weight of the matter, show me the real stuff is what they're saying. Show me the real stuff. Doxa means nature or true nature. It means show me the real nature of a thing. It's glory. Show me the real nature of Lynette. That I'm saying, show me her glory when I say that. Doxa. Now, I want to go to Psalm 8. Psalm 8, if you would turn there. Now, that's the meaning of the word glory. So keep that in mind as we go forward. Now, when you say to the Lord, and we say this all the time, Lord, glorify yourself in me. Don't we say that? Lord, glorify yourself in me. Glorify yourself in this place. Glorify yourself in my house. And when you say that to the Lord, what you're telling the Lord is, when you say, glorify yourself in me, Lord, you know what you're saying to the Lord? Show me your stuff. Show me your true nature. Show me the true characteristic. Show me your stuff, God. If you say to the Lord, glorify yourself in my home, what you're saying is, God, show me your stuff in my house. I want to see the real you. Show me your stuff. Glorify yourself. Look at Psalm 8. Let me turn there myself. Psalm 8. Now, this is going to blow you away. Because you've read this all the time, but you didn't get it, really. Psalm 8, verses 3 to 5. It says, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you care for him. Now watch verse 5. You have made him a little lower than the heavens and crowned him with what? Glory and honor. And crowned him. Now listen, the word crown means to bestow. The crown is not that little thing on the king and queen's head that they wear. Crown means to bestow the authority on someone. If they lose that little thing they wear, they're still the king or queen, right? There is no authority in that little thing. The king gives that little thing authority because he puts it on his head. So crown means to bestow the authority on someone. So let's read it again, and let's plug in our definition of glory. So it says, God made you a little lower than the heavenly beings, and then bestowed on you, crowned you, gave you the right to have the authority, watch, to possess his full weight, his attributes, his nature. He crowned you with glory and honor. My God. Now listen, that's why do you think Peter got the revelation in his epistle when he says that we are partakers. We are participants in the divine nature. Now we say this all the time too, but we don't really grasp the full meaning when we say we are made in the image of the God of the universe. We just don't grasp that. That truth ought to take your breath away. We don't grasp that truth, we just say it. Psalm 19, verse 1 says this. It says, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Glory, church, is not some invisible thing. It is the works that you show forth. It's the good works, the good deeds. Now, works, he said it right here. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. That's the glory. And works has nothing to do with your salvation or has nothing to do with your right standing with God, but it has everything to do with exposing God's glory. The Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God. What are the heavens? It's the universe, the planets, the solar systems, the black holes, the beautiful Milky Ways, the awesome galaxies. The Bible says, look at that. That is God exposing his glory. And in the next statement, he says, and the skies proclaim the work of his hands. Church, God showed his glory by what he did, not by what you feel. Listen, you may feel his presence, but you don't feel his glory, you see it. The heaven, oh, you hear what I'm saying? The heavens and the earth declare the glory of God. Creation is a reflection of the glory of God. You see it. That's why creation compels us to worship. And humans, you and me, are the pinnacle of God's revelation of glory in creation. Do you know, look at Catherine Ashlock over there. Do you know she's more impressive and lovely than any sunset in creation? Any Grand Canyon? See, because you and I, we are more impressive than any other created being. You and I uniquely reveal something about the glory of God more than creation or any other created thing. Humanity, he says it in Psalm 8. Humanity is the last and best part of creation, the crowning touch. You are crowned with glory and honor. Amen? Now remember, the glory is not inerrant in human nature. God gives it to us. That's why we sing glory to the Lamb. Because any glory in me, or any glory that's coming out of me, or any glory that's manifesting through me, through works or deeds, is only because of him and what he's done and who he is. Glory to the Lamb. So here we find out the glory of God is in you. You are crowned with it. You are an earthen vessel with glory on the inside. Why do you think the Apostle Paul said you have this treasure in earthen vessels? He said you're walking around with this treasure chest, and the treasure is the nature of God. Who gave you the glory, church? God. So listen to me now. We have to clear something up. If this is true, how do we deal with the scripture that says, that I mentioned earlier? How do we deal with that scripture that says, I will not share my glory with another? When God says, here, listen, God says, here, I crowned you with it. So that scripture in Isaiah says, I won't share my glory with another, but God says, I crowned you with it. Let's turn to Isaiah 42. Because listen, we have misunderstood scripture. The devil has religious people so messed up that they don't even know who they are. Look, church, do you think the devil wants you to even think that you have the glory of God inside you? No. Do you really believe he wants you to know that or live that? So what does he do? He quotes scripture out of context, watch, through people who you respect. Isaiah 42, verse 8. Watch what he says. He says, I am the Lord. That is my name. I will not give my glory to another or my praise to idols. Now, this is what we always quote. But if we had time, I'd read the whole two chapters to you, 41 and 42. Because if you read the context of this in the whole chapter is dealing with the people. They are rebellious in this chapter. What are the people doing? They're marrying all kinds of pagans. They're worshiping rock and stone. They got images all built up everywhere. These are God's people, and they're worshiping idols, and they're bowing down to a wooden stone, and they're calling those wooden stone idols gods. You get the picture? So God is looking at this. God comes on the scene and he says, what is this? Are you trying to tell me that I gave my nature to that idol? Are you actually taking my glory, my nature, and making it a slab of stone? Now, this is where God said, are you crazy? Are you crazy? He said, I am the Lord, man. That's my name. You understand? That's my name you're messing with. I am the Lord. What does Lord mean? Lord means owner. So God says, I own that tree and I own that wood. And because I own it, I know what's in it and I know what's not in it. That's why he repeats the statement. If you read the chapter, he said, that is my name. God was upset. He says, look, I'm the owner. I know what's in that stuff. I created it. I made it. I'm the owner. That's my name you're messing with. I own these things. So bowing down to them, I didn't give them my nature. Watch, because I didn't give my glory to another. I only gave it to you. In the context of those chapters, he's saying, I know what I made. I know who you are, and I put my glory in you, and I will not give it to another creature. Amen. I won't give my glory to all your idols and idolatry. That's what he's talking about. I'm not going to give my glory to one. I'm only going to give my glory to one creature and no other. He crowned you with glory and honor. So now when somebody points that out to you, and because when you're talking about manifesting God's glory now, when somebody points that out to you, you'll know how to deal with it in context. Amen. Let me close this morning. I got so much to teach about this. I may need 4 or 5. I don't even know. But I got so much to teach on this subject, so much, church, so much I want to give you. And it's really going to come together in parts 2 and 3. Because honestly, we're really only scratching the surface this morning. So I want to close this morning with scripture, Matthew 5, if you turn there with me. Matthew 5, I want to read this from the New American Standard Bible. This is a powerful, powerful statement that Jesus made. Matthew chapter 5. You guys getting anything this morning? You want me to go back to my pajamas?
No.
I want to end today with this scripture. Look at it with me. This is part of the Sermon on the Mount. It says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Now watch this, verse 16. Let your light so shine before men in such a way that they may see your worship services. Oops. No, wait a minute. Oh, I'm sorry. That they may see your prayer and fasting. No. Oh, wait a minute. I know what it says. That they may see your Bible study. No. What does it say, church? That they may see your what? Good works. The NIV says good deeds. And what will they do when they see your good works and good deeds? They will glorify your Father who is in heaven. Oh. Listen. Men have got to see what you're doing to say, that's got to be God. Amen. When somebody sees the attributes of God in you, as you're going through this journey of life with all its ups and downs, when somebody sees the attributes of God in you, as you are fulfilling your purpose, your vision, your dreams, when they see that, watch, it brings glory to God. Amen. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. When you start to do and manifest actually what God created you to do, oh my God, not what everybody tells you to do, but what God created you to do, and that just doesn't have to be one thing. When you start to do and manifest what God created you to do, then God begins to see himself in you. God begins to see himself show up. His true nature begins to come out of you, and that brings glory to God. But it's in what you're doing, church, and what you're manifesting. When you are manifesting what you were created to do, just think if we had a church full of people who were actually doing and manifesting what they were created to do. Could you imagine the glory in this place? And what will men say? What a witness. Because men will say, only God could do that. Listen, church, I want something to come out of me where other people are going to look and say, only God could have done that. And because of that, they'll glorify my Father who is in heaven. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, not your religious idea of works, your good works, your good deeds, that they might see something come out of you. And the only conclusion that they can come to is that only God could have done that, and they will glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Can you say amen this morning, church? For the glory of God, and for the glory of living, because manifesting the glory of God is all about the glory of living. Amen? Amen. Amen. Come on, give God a praise this morning for the glory of God. Come on, bow your heads with me. Let me say a prayer before our music team closes us in song this morning. Father God, we thank you so much for this day. Lord, I thank you that I'm standing here today with the Rising family. I thank you for all of them, Jesus, just their faces, their smiles, their countenance, their presence. I'm so blessed this morning, and I thank you so much, Lord. We thank you, Father, for creating us in your image, in your likeness. Father, we thank you for crowning us with your glory. We thank you so much for putting your glory in us. Father, help us not to waste it. I ask you, Lord, to put each person in this room in the right atmosphere. Put them in the right environment to release your glory, to release the glory that's in them. Father, I ask you to glorify yourself here at this church, at the Rising. Show us your stuff, Lord. Show us the real you. Show us the true nature of who you are at the Rising. Lord, I ask you to glorify yourselves in our lives. Lord, I ask you to bring encouragement this morning to every heart here. May we all continue together to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, may we continue to see and manifest your glory on this earth. We ask you all these things in Jesus' name. And all the church said, amen. Amen. Come on, clap your hands this morning and thank the Lord. Come on, music team, close us out.